The amendment has the effect of returning to the original language of the bill. Is there any objection to Representative Peterson being recorded as a no vote on that last vote? If not, the record shall still reflect that vote. And the motion is successful, 6-3. Are there further amendments? Is there further discussion? Is there a motion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair, I move to send House Bill 2428 to the floor as amended. Do pass.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2428 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Can I give a vote explanation now or?
After the vote.
Aye.
Gil?
Aye.
Vesti?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burton.
Vote explanation, if I may. The intent of legislation, as I understood it originally, and I am on the bill, was to give the opportunity for grandparents who had found themselves in situations of divorce cases to get access. Apparently, in signing under that bill in its original form, I misunderstood the intent of it. And I think we, by passing it in its original form, were opening up for litigation to a degree that I wouldn't have dreamed possible. So I think while the idea certainly of grandparent rights is one that I support, the degree to which we just passed this bill is not one that I feel very comfortable with. So I'm torn. I will vote yes on the main bill, but I think we're opening ourselves up to some problems.
Okay, are there any further comments on the bill? We will contact Representative Campbell. I would assume that he would, as a prime sponsor, like to exercise the responsibility of carrying the bill on the floor. If there's any other procedure, we'll consult committee members and redesignate to carry the bill. Just for members' information and for information of those who are here for work session, the majority Democratic caucus members just received a notice of a mandatory caucus at 3 p.m. today, so we're going to have 45 more minutes to try to work as expeditiously as possible. We then have floor session at 4 p.m. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to be excused for that. We will try to, but there is going to be a break, substantial break, some point in the afternoon. We will, if possible, and I'm not sure what members' other commitments are in the late afternoon or early evening, we'll try if we can to come back after floor session, but that's going to depend in part on how late floor session goes. I know for myself, I have a prior commitment in Portland at 7, so I'm going to be leaving here at 6. And if we run into a time constraint, the bills, unfortunately, just have to be carried over to our next full committee and subcommittee work session. Those things happen at this time in the session. Without further explanation, let's go ahead and push on and see how far we can get. 2424.
Mr. Chairperson, this bill deals with public records which are available for public disclosure. This measure would exempt certain personnel records and performance evaluations from public disclosure. We had a work session on this bill. There were no amendments, and there was really no opposition except for Mr. Jed Van Veen from the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association.
Chairman?
Representative Bellamy.
I move House Bill 2424 to the floor. Do pass.
Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2424 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
A question.
Yes, Representative Phillips.
When we say this measure applies to all personnel files, what happens if someone wants to find out when an individual began, say, employment or something like that? How extensive is this? Is it a total blanket on information or staff?
Mr. Brea, can you try to respond to that?
Representative Phillips, what the bill was addressing is more as evaluations in the workplace, especially in confidential evaluations. Information such as name, start of employment, and maybe salary are public information in most cases.
And maybe salary.
Yeah, and for public agencies, it's public information.
That's, you're sure about that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I can respond to Representative Phillips, in essence, if it's a school, their budget is a matter of public record, and the salary would be, you can determine the salaries paid by looking at the public budget.
This is designed specifically for superintendents, but it encompasses a little more than that. But specifically, it's saying that superintendent's personnel record and evaluation of employment-related performance is not a matter of public record.
Okay. Is there further discussion on the bill, on the motion?
I take it there was a problem in probably Representative McCracken's district with regard to a superintendent that they couldn't find information. Is that sort of the impetus, and there was some question as to what the statute said?
There was a lawsuit, correct.
Oh, okay. That's some question.
Okay. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Melanie? Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Jeffy?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. Motion's adopted. We will ask Representative McCracken if he wishes to carry his bill. If not, we'll make other appropriate provisions. 2730.
This bill deals with the sales and installation of consumer electronic entertainment, which is really called satellite earth receiving stations. This is from Representative Whitty. And we had an amendment which allows Director of Commerce to set up rules for the purpose of regulating sales and installation of these satellite earth receiving stations. There were amendments to delete, making this act as a part of the Unlawful Trade Practices Act, because it is already covered under the Unlawful Trade Practices Act. The LC Amendments 2730-2 were adopted in subcommittee.
Okay. Any questions or comments about the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kapitsky.
In spite of the fact that Representative Whitty cut down a 200-year-old Myrtlewood tree to establish, set up his television set, I think he has presented a good consumer bill to the, badly needed consumer bill to the legislature. And I'd move House Bill 2730 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Thank you, Kapitsky. Representative Kapitsky moves House Bill 2730 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Representative Burton.
Mr. Chair, if we pass this bill and we ask Representative Whitty to carry it on the floor, can we put the caveat in that he not bring a satellite dish onto the floor of the visual aid?
We can try.
We can object.
If the experience teaches us anything, the use of physical exhibits on the floor did not benefit the bill very much this morning, so he might take a lesson from that experience.
He needs a chance to carry a successful bill.
I think the floor would probably benefit from hearing from Representative Whitty's personal experience with a satellite dish receiver. Is there further discussion on the motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Donnie?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Jeffy?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Since adopted, we'll ask Representative Whitty if he would like the honor of carrying this bill on the floor. 2730. 2651.
Mr. Chairman, this bill deals with providing mental health counseling to suicide and alcohol and drug abuse for minors. There were amendments that were worked out between us and Bunn and certain parties, including Dr. Bob King, and the amendments would allow parental involvement at the earliest possible. Earliest opportunity, unless it interfered with the clinical practice of the counseling. There would be also exceptions for sexual or physical abuse, or if the child was emancipated for 3 months. We have in front of us, we adopted the LC 7 minutes 2651-4. And we also added 3 months in terms of the emancipation period.
Okay. There are just a couple questions that I think we wanted to reserve an opportunity to review just briefly in full committee. One was, among the amendments submitted was one from the Juvenile Rights Project, and those are LC 2651-1. It was our understanding that with the adoption of the what have been referred to as the King Amendments, the Dash 4 Amendments, that the Juvenile Rights Project amendments were probably no longer necessary. But we have Ms. McFarland here to respond. Julie, can you share with us if our perception is correct or... Ms. McFarland is reviewing those amendments. Let me note that for purposes of the record, we have received a letter from the Union County Center for Human Development during the date March 9, 1985, indicating their support. They've designated it as a Senate bill. I believe they mean to say House Bill 2651, and that was adopted by members of the Center for Human Development Advisory Committee from Union County. Ms. McFarland, would you like a moment to check those amendments? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
We have a real quick question for Mr. King. Bob, if you could come forward. In your amendments, as we considered them in subcommittee, the number of months that a minor, for purposes of this section, would be deemed to be self-sustaining so as to have that person defined as emancipated was 3 months. We did that without a whole lot of guidance necessarily or opportunity for you to comment. Does the 3 month figure seem appropriate to you, or would you suggest some other figure for our consideration today?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Bob King, Director of Clackamas County Mental Health. I'm not really the best person to try to respond to that. We don't have that many street kids in Clackamas County. We were trying to really address a major problem in the Multnomah County area. And I think the shorter you make that period of time, I think the better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. King on that? Representative Burton?
Yeah, Mr. King, I asked this question in the subcommittee, and I just wanted to get reconfirmed or at least reviewed on it. But in your amendments, was talking about exemptions of the subsection exempting parents from that would be the emancipated child, and the other one was a minor who has been sexually abused by a parent. And I was wondering how that determination was made. In other words, it's making a determination as to when a child is emancipated, like time, is a quantifiable type of thing. How's the determination made? Who makes that determination to exempt the parents in the case of a child being sexually molested by their parents?
The way that situation comes to us most frequently is an adolescent calls the mental health clinic wanting to make an appointment, and they're checking you out to find out whether they can be seen without their parents knowing that. And in the course of that conversation, as you try to determine the nature of the problem, it comes out that they've been sexually abused, but at this point, you don't have a name or any other information. It's just a voice on the telephone, and they're making it pretty clear to you that they're unwilling to come in if you're going to have to go to the authorities. And so that's the way the situation comes up. So basically, you're having to take the adolescent's word for that.
But normally, in the course of that, that is determined prior to the determination made whether or not to have a parent. It usually isn't a reverse situation where that may come up as a reason not to have a parent there. That's usually you have that information before you make. In other words, the child on the phone is going to give you that information first. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions for Mr. King? Okay, thank you, Bob. Ms. McFarland, have you had a chance to review these amendments, and can you advise us if you feel we need to act further on the amendments which you had proposed?
Right. Julie McFarland, Juvenile Rights Project. I do think that the First Amendment that I suggest in my proposed amendments is still needed, and that amendment in Section 2, Subsection 1, the new Subsection 1, still provides that this exception to the common law rule of consent would only apply to agencies which are community health, mental health programs established and operated pursuant to ORS 43620. And as I testified in my testimony on this bill, there are many community agencies, including the Youth Service Center, for example, in Portland, which are legitimate agencies which do provide mental health counseling to juveniles for these sorts of problems, which are not community mental health programs established pursuant to that chapter. And I'm afraid that what we're setting up here is a liability situation where, you know, we're saying clearly this group of agencies can do this counseling and they're not going to be liable. Therefore, these other agencies, which don't have the statutory authority, are going to be subject to liability, particularly some of the agencies you're looking at are local and local government-funded agencies and deep pockets in terms of liability. I'm real worried about that kind of provision. What I suggested in my amendments was to just delete all the language after the word program, so that we went with just a community mental health program without defining that as coming in within Chapter 430.
Okay.
The Second Amendment would be all right.
Okay, when you speak of the First Amendment, you're speaking to URLC Draft Amendments 2651-1, lines 2 and 3. Is that correct?
No, I don't have 2651-1. I have 2651-4.
Try on the bottom.
Yes.
Okay, but it's not necessary to take any action on lines 4 or 5.
Right.
Okay. Okay, for purposes of discussion, the chair would move the amendment that's been identified by Ms. McFarland, which on the engrossed version of the bill would, after program, insert a period and delete the rest of line 20, also line 21 and 22. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a discussion on that amendment? Mr. King, does that pose any problems for you folks?
My only the issue of quality control. The other things are covered by the Illinois license. The programs covered under the ORS 430 site is by the mental health division, so there's elements of quality control there. I don't know
Ms. McFarland, do you want to, any further comments?
Well, I think that, you know, I wouldn't have any objection to inserting some quality control for clinics, but, you know, sort of how it works that you become a mental health, community mental health program under Chapter 430 is that you get money from mental health division. Well, not all of the services in this state are funded by the state government. A lot of them are funded by the local government, and that's particularly true in terms of juvenile services. And those folks just aren't community mental health agencies as defined in Chapter 430 because they don't get the money, they don't comply with mental health rules. You know, if we want to open those requirements of Chapter 430 up to other agencies that are not receiving funds, you could certainly look at doing that. I just...
Okay. Is there any further discussion or comment on the amendment? Tripping. Burton expected back.
Okay.
Okay, if there are no further questions or discussion, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me, Representative Bunn.
I apologize for stepping out briefly. The amendment we're voting on now is the King Amendment or...
Excuse me. No, we are speaking to... The King Amendment had been adopted in subcommittee. There was some question, you may recall, Representative, as to whether or not, in light of the adoption of the King Amendment, it was necessary to consider in subcommittee the amendments of the Juvenile Rights Project. And Ms. McFarland has indicated that only a part of that amendment, that which requires or would limit the program to the definition of established and operated pursuant to ORS 430.620 when approved to do so by the Mental Health Division pursuant to administrative rule. That was her argument. I believe that there are other programs which exist which are not funded or subject to that approval by the Mental Health Division, which she feels should be made a part of the system. And Mr. King expressed his concern that you may not have adequate assurance in terms of quality control if this language is deleted. Representative Hill.
Julie, an issue of quality control, could you, under what auspices are these groups operating? I mean, is there any type of licensing at all?
There's some licensing. Some of them are private. Some of them are religiously funded. Quite a few of them are funded through county or city funds. That's particularly true in the Portland area. And some of them are funded by Juvenile Services Commission funds, which doesn't qualify them for being a community mental health agency. They would be licensed if they are residential facilities. For the most part, they're not residential facilities. And to my knowledge, other than the kind of general licensing required by local government, which isn't going to get into the specific quality control issues that are of concern in this bill, there is no licensing that would cover all of these agencies.
Sure.
Representative Hill.
What about the individuals that run the organizations? Are they licensed by the state in some way as licensed counselors or whatever?
It would depend upon whether or not they are, in fact, social workers with degrees or psychologists with degrees meeting the licensing requirements of the state. But even many of those professionals don't necessarily get licensed to be working in some of these agencies. And many of the people working in these agencies are not professionals.
So in your evaluation, though, I guess I'm trying to get a handle on the quality control issue, and I guess I just don't know how to do that. Is there any way that you can help out with that? I mean, you've had experience with them. I mean, have there been problems with them in any way that you're aware of?
Well, I think that when you're talking about the kind of crisis-oriented emergency services that this bill is talking about, where kids are contemplating suicide, where they need counseling because they're facing very serious crisis situations, that, you know, you ought to be happy that someone is willing to deal with those kids. And for too long, it has been the case that no one was willing to deal with those kids because they were afraid of liability. And, for instance, youth service centers in Portland have just pretty much gone ahead and done it, and they have not incurred liability, which I think means they must be doing a reasonably good job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Let's see if we've got a number two back here. Peterson?
Mr. Chair, I think as long as we're waiting for people, I might go ahead and ask a question. Julie, if that section were left in, and you may have said this earlier and I just didn't catch it, although not all these agencies get funding through mental health, it might not be accurate, but would it be, again, what would the flaw be if indeed the mental health division had to approve them?
Well, I think it presents a problem for the agencies in terms of getting that approval. Right now, I think it would be very difficult for an agency that didn't receive mental health funding, given the current regulations, to get that approval. Certainly, those regulations could be changed, and I would hope that if this bill passed without my amendment, that mental health division would be willing to certify more community agencies as community mental health agencies. That's not the case now. That's not provided for by the regulations now, and I would be concerned that we would be setting up this liability situation for these other agencies.
So, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
You don't see it as necessarily a personal bias or a territorial kind of thing, but merely because the rules are already established. Thank you.
Representative Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm not sure if you were here for the discussion of the amendment. Are you clear on that? Okay. Okay. The clerk will call the roll on the motion to adopt the GRP amendment. We have a little accent with a copy up here. Thank you. Representative Miller, clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Young?
No.
Bun?
No.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
No.
Miller?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Phillips?
No.
Springer?
Aye. Motion fails. Any further amendments? Thank you, Ms. McFarland.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I would like to move to amend House Bill 2651 by taking those in Section 1 and putting it above B and C. Mr. Chairman, if I could speak to the amendment.
I'll try and place the
yes.
Motion in. We'll recognize it. Representative Bellamy moves that the language in Section 1 as amended be placed above the enabling or enactment phrase of the bill. Representative Bellamy.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I have since learned that if the language above the be enacted, then it is not printed as far as it's not put into the ORN. There are going to be some members on the floor of the House that are going to have a difficult time in voting for this bill because of the parents' rights versus the child's rights. And there's been some significant compromises here. I think some of those people might find it a little easier to support this bill if they did not have to look at this first paragraph of legislative policy and know that it was going into the statutes.
Okay. Mr. King, as one of the sponsors, do you have any strong feelings on that issue?
No, sir.
He indicates he does not. Is there further discussion of that amendment? Any objection to that amendment? If not, it's adopted.
Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
With that, I would move House Bill 2651 as amended. No subsequent referral, is it? To the floor to do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2651 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
He's right there.
Clerk will call the roll on the motion on the bill as amended to the floor.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Glenn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Hill?